Okay, two questions on the up on the screen. I wonder if the kids saw the answer to those questions. Sorry, the ones that were there before. Where did Jesus go? And when he saw the crowds, what did he see? I'm going to ask you another question though. When you look for a new car, when you're looking to buy a car, what do you look for? When you look to buy a car, what do you look for? If it was my wife, she'd just say, the colour. That's the most important thing. And how many seats it's got. That's the next most. Apart from that, doesn't matter what it is. It could be a Ford or it could be a whole Toyota. She doesn't care as long as it's the right colour and got the right number of seats. When you look for a car, what do you look for? If you're a bloke, you're probably looking for torque or engine size or what else we look for. What do you look for, Todd, in a car? Got to be a V8. 6-litre V8, preferably. Yeah. 6-litre V8. Is it manual or automatic? You've got to know. You want to choose, you know, whether you like manuals or automatics. 4-wheel drive or 2-wheel drive. How does it go on the dirt? How much does it cost? Money's no object when it comes to cars. You know that. How reliable it is, whether it's got a good stereo, does it have cruise control, there's fuel economy. There's a whole lot of things that you've got to look for, that you might want to look for when you're looking for a car, when you're choosing a car. But what about when you look at people, when you meet people? What do you look for when you meet people? What are the sort of things that you think about when you're meeting someone? And as you come across them for the first time and you look at them and you start to think, what's this person like, I wonder? What sort of things do you look for? Will I get on well with them? Do they have the same values or beliefs that I have? And what's their reputation like? If I hang around them, will that be good for me or bad for me? Will it help me or hinder me? We can be quick to make judgments about people, can't we? But what did Jesus see when he looked at people? I want you to look at those verses in Matthew chapter 9. Oh, lost the page already. Have a look at those verses in Matthew chapter 9. And first of all, before we see what he saw in people, where did Jesus go? Where did Jesus go? Who could answer that question from the Bible reading? Thanks, Faye. I was looking for a kid, but that's all right. He went to some towns and villages, did he? All the towns and villages. Where did Jesus go? He didn't just go to the good areas, you know, the Narrabri's and the Weewars of the world. He even went to places like Boggabri and Mullally and the terrible places of the world. Not just some places, but all places, all the good areas. He would have even gone to Sydney, believe it or not. How about that? Yeah, Australia's got some really funny place names. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the place names around Australia, but here's a few names that I was told are real names of towns. And you ever heard of a place called Bubble Bubble? Or Bong Bong? Book Book? Booty Booty? Menangatang? Wongalpong? Burrumbuttock? Moonyanooka? Undaroo? And Una Whoop Whoop? And now we have some visitors here from Tasmania today and they swear that this is not real, that there's a place in Tasmania called Dismal Swamp or another place called Stinkhole. Who'd like to live in Stinkhole? Well, James, what does that say about you? Who'd like to visit Stinkhole? No, I don't think anyone would like to visit Stinkhole or Smelly's Lagoon or Foul Bay or even a town called Nowhere Else. I don't know if they're real names, but that's what I'm told they are. But Jesus didn't avoid the hard places. He didn't avoid the stinky places, or now the places that people might not want to go. Jesus went everywhere, to all the towns and villages, not just some of them. And he went teaching and preaching and healing. Have a look at those couple of verses there in chapter 9, verse 35. He went to their synagogue, he taught in their synagogues, he preached the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness. So the synagogues were like their churches. Jesus went to the Jewish churches, and when they read the Bible, he would teach from the Bible. He would teach from the scripture passage. And then when he went out into the streets, he would preach and he would tell people the good news of the kingdom of God. And then he would back up his preaching and his teaching with healing, showing people that God's kingdom is about bringing people back to restoration. and back to life. And so Jesus taught and he lived out the good news of the kingdom of God. But when he saw the crowds, what did he see? Who had an answer to that question from the Bible reading? When Jesus saw the crowds, what did he see? Meg had the first hand up. He had compassion because he saw something. He had compassion because he saw something. I missed that bit. They were harassed and helpless. In other words, he saw something in people that showed him that they weren't right, that things weren't right with them, that they needed help, that they needed God's word, that they needed to know God and to know his salvation. They were harassed and helpless. And what does it say that they looked like? What does it say that they looked like? Who's got the answer? Roz, thanks. Annika, you were going to say that, weren't you? Sheep without a shepherd? Yeah. They look like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen sheep wandering around without a shepherd, but sheep without a shepherd need gathering up, don't they? They need bringing back to where they should be. They need feeding. They need protection. Those sheep are in danger, especially if some certain people are on the road. I won't mention any names, Emily and... But those sheep are in danger. They're in the wrong place. They're on the road. They need a shepherd to take them to safety. They need protection because without a shepherd, those sheep are in danger. Very good. But they're lost, aren't they? They are lost. They need a shepherd. And I wonder if you ever see people like that, because that's how Jesus saw these people. But we often can't see people the way Jesus sees them. Wouldn't it be great to have a special pair of glasses that would help us if we put these glasses on, that we could see people just like Jesus saw them? I think I've got a pair of those glasses right here. My Jesus glasses. Oh, you guys look like sheep. And you look like you're lost. You look like sheep without a shepherd. People. Sheep. People. Sheep. Isn't it amazing? Wouldn't it be great to have a pair of glasses, a pair of Jesus glasses, so that when we saw people, we could see them the way that Jesus sees them? And when Jesus saw people, he saw that they were harassed and helpless, like they were sheep without a shepherd. And we often don't see that. Sometimes when I look at people around me who don't know God, or who aren't friends with God, I can think, well, they look pretty confident and they look pretty, secure, and they look like they're independent and they don't really have many cares. I can see people are doing fairly well for themselves and they're fairly secure. And sometimes I forget to see people like Jesus sees them and to realize that they're actually lost without God. Do you know that? Man without God is lost, just like sheep without a shepherd. Man without God is lost. And sometimes when I look outside, I don't see that, because I don't see people the way that Jesus sees them. I've got to learn to see people the way that Jesus sees them, that man without God is lost, because there's no security that will last very long apart from God. There's nothing that you can put your security in. Money, nothing like that will last. And sometimes we realize very quickly that things get out of our control. When there's illnesses or sicknesses come along, there's all sorts of things that can stop us from being in control. And we can't have great confidence in the face of death unless we know Jesus. And there's a lot of people who don't have confidence in the face of death because they don't know Jesus. Man without God is lost. And we need to see people like Jesus sees them. Look through Jesus' glasses. Look through the way that Jesus would see people, and see that people without God are lost. So that's the first thing Jesus saw. He saw that People without him were lost. They were like sheep without a shepherd. What was the next thing that Jesus saw? Let's have a look in verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." What did Jesus see? Jesus saw that there's lots of people out there who need to be brought in. Just like a harvest, when you look out at a field, at a wheat crop, and it's fully grown, it's ready to be harvested, you see this beautiful harvest, and there's lots of grain out there that needs to be brought in the silo. Do you know what? Grain doesn't get into the silo all on its own. Does it? Does grain hop off the plant and run along the ground and climb up the steps into the silo and jump into the top? No, grain doesn't get into the silo all on its own. So what did Jesus say in verse 38? "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." There's lots of people who need to know God, who need to be brought in to God's family forever, but they need to be brought in by us. Ask God to send out workers. Now, you notice this is God's harvest. It says, ask the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. This is God's harvest out there, but he wants us to be the people who bring in the harvest, who bring in those who are lost so that they can know God. Show me a picture, Tim. What's the next picture? Is that, oh, the harvest is great. There's all sorts of people, lots of different types of people. There's rich and there's poor, there's happy and there's sad. There's sinful and there's righteous. And you know, Jesus reached out to all different sorts of people, didn't he? Even the woman who was by the well, who lived a sinful life, Jesus called her to belong to him. And she came. But you know, there was a righteous man too. A man who was called Nicodemus, and he was a Pharisee. And Jesus called him to belong to God's family as well. Didn't matter if people were sinful or righteous, Jesus called both of them. If they were rich or poor, you know, Jesus called a bloke called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very rich tax collector. And Jesus said, no, you've got to leave that behind and you've got to give your money to the poor. He called a rich young ruler too one time, but the rich young ruler couldn't leave his money behind. And Jesus called the poor and the rich, the happy and the sad, the righteous and the unrighteous. It didn't matter. Jesus called them all because the harvest is great. And there's lots of different people. But they won't come in on their own. Show me the next picture, Tim. What do we need for a harvest? What's this? Ben, tell me what that is. A header. What's the header doing? Harvesting. Very good. So to get the harvest in, you need a header. Now, what else is the header doing in this picture? Unloading the grain into a chaser bin. So you've got one person who's driving the header, but you also need another person to drive the chaser bin, don't you? You can't just do harvest on your own. You can't just have one person. You've got to have at least two because you've got to have someone driving the header, someone driving the chaser bin. Next picture, Tim. What's happening in that top picture? What's that? The top one? A mother bin. Okay. So when you take the chaser bin and you unload it into the mother bin, then you unload from the mother bin into a truck, and then, Tim, keep going, then you unload from the truck up the auger into the silo. Now, this takes a lot of people to do all this. The grain doesn't get from the field into the silo all on its own. You need lots of people to be involved, someone driving the header, someone driving the chaser bin, someone unloading into the mother bin, someone loading from the mother bin into the truck, someone driving the truck from the field to the silo, someone operating the auger to get the grain from the truck into the silo where it's nice and safe. So when it comes to God's harvest, if we're going to bring in the harvest, we need lots of people to all be doing their part. That means it's not my job to go out into the harvest field. It's everyone's job. Do you know, one time when Jesus said this, as Luke records it, Jesus said, "The harvest is great. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest field." And then his next words were, "Go." And he looked at all his disciples And he said, go. And he sent 72 of them, not just 12, 72 of them out on a mission. Because he said, pray that the Lord will send workers. And then he said, go. So if you pray that the Lord will send workers into his harvest field, guess what you got to do? Go. And it's all our job to go into God's harvest field and to bring in people, to invite them in and to bring people to come to know God. Do you know what? Praying that the Lord will send out workers into his harvest field isn't just about praying that missionaries will go overseas somewhere. It's not about that. It's about praying that we will be part of God's harvest here and that we will be bringing people in. All right. God wants people to work on his harvest. Are you part of his harvest team? When Martin Dunlop does harvest out of his place, he has a few people working with him. He needs a team of people. When Dave Thompson does harvest at his place, he gets his four sons probably, and they're all part of the team. You need a team of people. Are you part of God's team to work in God's harvest? Interesting question. Who is welcome in our church? Are we ready to welcome people? Because if we're part of God's harvest team and we're inviting people into church, that means people are going to start turning up to church, and they might be people who we don't expect to come to church. And are we ready to welcome them? Tim, show me a picture. What's up there? Are we ready? Would we welcome a rich person more than a poor person? Would we welcome someone who we value, someone who we favour more than others? Who are your favourite people? Who are your favourite people? Well, we've got to remember this question. How does Jesus see people? We've got to remember that we've got to look through, you're all like sheep again. We've got to look through our glasses, our Jesus glasses, to see how Jesus sees people. And when Jesus looks at people, do you think he sees rich and poor? Do you think he sees righteous and unrighteous? How does Jesus see people? And that's got to help us to understand how we see people. What's been happening in this church? What do you think was happening in the church that James wrote to? What do you think's been happening there? What were they doing? Well, the mums and dads might answer this question for me. They've been showing favouritism to some people over others. And James gets stuck in them. Why would you show favouritism to a rich person over a poor person? And he says it should be the opposite, shouldn't it? Have a look there in verse. Wrong page. Here we are. Have a look in verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? You see, when Jesus looks at people who are going to be his people, he doesn't see rich and poor. He sees people who are going to inherit his promises and who are going to love him like he loves them. How does Jesus see people? Why would you insult the poor and favour the rich? It's very dangerous, kids, to start playing favourites. Because if you start playing favourites, that means you start thinking of yourself as better than others and that you're the one who can make judgments about who's nice and who's not nice, who's good and who's not good. Once you start playing favourites, you start thinking more about yourself than you should, and you forget that God doesn't love you because you're nice. See, some people think that God loves me because I'm nice. But we've got to remember, God doesn't love us because we're nice. God loves us despite the fact that we are sinful people. He loves us anyway, and he shows us his great grace and mercy. And that's why God loves us despite the fact that we're not nice, but he loves us anyway. And we have to start seeing ourselves and others the way Jesus sees us. That doesn't matter where you've come from. That when Jesus calls you into his family, you belong to him. So if we're going to start inviting people, if we're going to start going out to this harvest, this great harvest that's out there, lots of people who need to know Jesus, lots of people who are lost, and if we're going to start inviting them to come and hear about Jesus and hear the gospel, what's going to happen when they come? Are we going to welcome everyone who comes? Pat's nodding her head, so I'm guessing she's saying yes. So, Pat, a man walks in the door and his face is covered with tattoos and he's got piercings in his nose and in his lip and his tongue and his eyebrows, and he's got chain going from his eyebrow to his nose and got all sorts of funny things on his face. What do you say? Do you say welcome? I hope you do. Now that could be very confronting, couldn't it? To say welcome to someone who looks really strange and odd and very different to you, but do we welcome them in? I had a friend in a church in Tamworth. He's the minister of a church in Tamworth. And a man started coming to their church who was dressed in ladies' clothes. And he didn't know what to do with that. He was really questioning, what do I do with that? Do we welcome people in who are dressing in ladies' clothes, men who are dressing in ladies' clothes? That was a really difficult question for him, and he had to work that one out. How can I show God's love to someone who is very different to me? What about if it was someone like, those people who camp down the highway and they protest against the gas and they've got dreadlocks and they're really smelly? If someone like that came to our church, would you sit with them? Would you sit with them? That's pretty tricky, isn't it? What about if a family moved to town who were refugees from the Middle East and they came to church one Sunday? Would you welcome them? Would you invite them home for lunch? Tough one, isn't it? Because God calls us to welcome people. And are we ready to welcome in all sorts of people into our church family so that they can hear the good news about Jesus and maybe give their life to Jesus? Are we ready to welcome all sorts in? They're tough questions, and I don't know. Some of those things I would find difficult. But it says in the Bible, we've got to be bringing people in because there's a great harvest out there. And James says we've got to be ready to welcome rich or poor, nice or not nice. We've got to be ready to welcome. Okay. The workers are few. We're asking the Lord of the harvest to send us out into his harvest field. We're inviting people in. Are we ready to welcome? Are we bringing people to God? Let's pray about that. Father God, we thank you that you want us to join your harvest team, that you want us to work with you and for you in bringing people to come to know you. And Father, we know that sometimes it's very difficult to talk to people, or there's people that we're not sure about, and if we're not sure if we really are going to get on with them. But Lord, we know that the people everywhere without you are lost. And so Father, please help us to see everyone as Jesus sees them. Not by what they wear or anything like that, but that we know that people without you are lost and they need to come to know you. Father, please help us to be a church that is ready to welcome, and not just welcome people here on a Sunday, but to welcome them into our homes during the week. And help us to be a church that shows genuine love and care for all people who are helpless and harassed, like sheep without a shepherd. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.